One verse describes the mission of the sun, moon, and stars. I do not know the details of their creation. I do know their purpose. God determined for my pleasure and profit how much light I should need by day and by night. The degree is for my benefit. Each light has a particular function. It is fixed to fulfill that function. The sun has a responsibility toward Earth different to that of the moon. The responsibility of the sun is greater than that of the stars. But the stars must not fail because of this. There is much in the universe, mister, in which there is no power of choice. The decision has been made. The sun cannot be the moon, and the moon cannot be the sun or stars. The sun in itself cannot choose how much or how little light it will shed upon Earth. Any variance would be a calamity to this planet. The sun must live up to its candle power. There is no room for argument. Now, God has no intention for his world to be wrecked. There is an obedience imposed, and that is the story of this text. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. The moon cannot deprive Earth. The results would be drastic. Even though the moon is the lesser light, its duty to Earth is magnificent. Now, I believe this eternal commitment has a parallel. Jesus said the talents were assigned. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Jesus said, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. There is a reckoning. Believe that. He that hath received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents. He also that hath received 2 talents came and said, I have gained 2 other talents. These servants had fulfilled their potential. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. That is the implacable rule of the universe. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. A new generation doesn't seem to think this law is viable. Somewhere there is a breakdown in our educational process. A generation protests that they are not answerable. They maintain a right to abandon pursuit. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Those are serious words, and prepared not himself. My responsibility toward the welfare of this planet is as serious as that of sun, moon, and stars. Should they fail, all life is in jeopardy. And should I fail, neither did according to his will, I cause damage that escalates beyond imagination to comprehend. That is why none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. I am responsible in proportion to what has been invested in me. The sun is the greater light. The moon is the lesser light. Each has a job to do. Each task is important. But the moon is not expected to do the work of the sun, nor the sun the work of the moon. Each in place produces results. So God has set mankind accordingly. There is nothing static. There is room for development. The aim is to be 100% efficient, whether 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1. Remember, the 2-talented person was given the identical commendation which the greater talented person received. He had fulfilled his potential. I have said this to many a young preacher in training. When you have done your best, that makes you as tall as any man in the organization. And that is why I often want my soloist to remind me and the audience, I wonder, have I given my best to Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when he has done so much for me? I wonder, have I cared enough for others, or have I let them die alone? I might have helped a wanderer to the Savior, the seed of precious life I might have sown. Now there seems to be more trouble with the lesser lights. The one talented man not only had not developed, used and shared his talent, but he had buried it in the earth. He didn't want to recognize it. He was ashamed of it. I was afraid. He blamed the giver, "Thou art hard." He was anti all the way, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strowed. Now that is a lie, mister, and that lie will send you to hell. God does make an investment in you, all you can handle, and you've got a job to do just as the sun, moon, and stars have their tasks prescribed. The attitude of Christ toward those who do not live up to their candle power was made abundantly clear through the denunciation recorded, "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness." This planet isn't made for loafers, fella. God does not permit vagrancy. Whether we like it or not, the divine mandate is, "I have gained. Get busy. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers. Then I should have received mine own with interest." God wants a better earth, a better society when you leave than when you came. He wants a better marriage. He wants a better song service. He wants a better herd of cattle. He wants a better report card. It's what you can do that matters, not what you may be doing. You are judged by your capacity for living. If your capacity is 5 talents, you must use all 5 talents. 3 are not enough. Some of you are qualified and expected to serve on the board, teach a Sunday school class, appear regularly with the choir, represent your church on a national committee, and raise an exemplary family all at the same time. You have that capacity. Functioning 60% of capacity is not enough. James names the reward, the sense of satisfaction. "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." There's a thrill in going all out. That joy comes to the person who makes a total effort. It brings a sense of companionship with God that slackers never know. Success breeds success. "Well done, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things." You don't fall up, you climb, fella. Example is so important. The 2-talented man must have been inspired by the 5-talented man. If he can make it, I can make it. That's what it takes in the family circle. Daughter watches mother, son watches father, younger children watch older children. If mother crawls to breakfast with hair unkempt, in soiled dressing gown, face unwashed, meal unplanned, breath uncleansed, the likelihood is that daughter will duplicate mother's attitude. Go all out all the time. I find church members with high moral report who make no worthwhile contribution to the ministry of the church. They avoid office. They flee work as though it were a plague. They limit their attendance. Their alibis are interesting. The truth, however, is brutal. They have no commitment to the master. He is, by their practical demonstration, a hard man. He simply asks too much. 45 minutes on Sunday morning should be enough. Now, mister, I have news for you. You'll go to hell straight from the church pew. Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest, from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Don't spend your days complaining and threatening if you're a 1-talented person. He made the stars also. That also can seem like a throw-in. You'll ask yourself, what can I do that counts? The little I have to offer wouldn't make that much difference. Every day is made of thousands, thousands of lesser things. The bolt, the stitch, the punctuation mark, the stamp, the match, the smile, the handshake, the handkerchief, the spark plug are in the final analysis as important to making this world go around as the big decisions in the boardrooms of giant corporations. A little nameless girl started General Naaman on the road to recovery. A pebble from an Israeli creek toppled Goliath. A boy's sandwiches multiplied to meet the need of 5,000. A mule talked sense to a preacher. And you are important, or God wouldn't have created you. And what you can do is important. The eye cannot say unto the hand, "I have no need of thee." Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Have you ever seen a star through a telescope? It's the most beautiful of all the heavenly lights. So God looks at the little people through the telescope of love and truth, and they are beautiful beyond description. Most of all, because despite their smallness of size and scope, they are living up to their candle power. Oh, yes, you matter. You matter a great deal. Never permit doubt and jealousy and frustration and odious comparison persuade you to bury your opportunity. Now, that is what hell wants you to do. So put what you have on the open market. Place it with the exchangers. And get into circulation, lady. Employ what you have fully. And your commendation will be the same as the most talented person on God's earth. Well done. I want to hear that when my Lord cometh. Now, this is a tender service, an invitation that seems almost like a warm hand clasp. It's his birthday greetings to you. He wants you home. The tree is never complete till you join the others. So in these next 10 seconds, please remember, there's room at the cross for you.
There's room at the cross for you.
One session on your knees can change everything. Right here at this long, long altar, make peace with somebody who really cares about you. Enjoy his love and trust. Feel strong in his forgiveness and cleansing. Know the certainty of faith. Lean hard and realize there's all the security you'll ever need. Dear wonderful Jesus, I thank thee for such a response at this broadcast altar. People need thee and want thee. Spiritual blindness keeps them so long from the Good Shepherd. Give these who pray with me a real wonderful experience. Make it the discovery of a lifetime. Let the bells of the soul ring out. Let the song of heaven be heard again. It is thy Son. We confess him to be our Savior, the redeeming seed of the woman. We greet him as King. Amen. I know how you feel. Now that you've done it, received Christ, you wish you'd done it a long, long time ago. It's a sweet, sweet feeling, I know. And we're all kneeling here with you. Mr. Schultz, whom you hear with me in this service. Mr. McClellan, whom you meet by music, spirit directed, and the company of singing evangelists who reach out towards you. Mr. Beam, who carries the burden and order of the service. Mr. Fender, who engineers the many details required by this great network. Always kneel with us. And I know this, that the Holy Spirit is reaching toward some lonely, lonely, lonely husband somewhere along this altar who walked out on his family and wife and children. And they're praying at the other end of this altar, asking Jesus, ask Daddy to return. So go home in Jesus' name, mister. That's what I hear at this altar, and I hear right. Revival time has joined with you. We have no creed to bind you. We offer you no spectaculars. We're building no buildings or mailing no membership forms. This is a network fellowship of all kinds of folk who have discovered that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.